What's good? Zimbabwe, muhle muri Zimbabwe, lingali chona njani mthwakazo muhle muri Zimbabwe. If you're tuning in right now, welcome to The Connection, Studio 7's very own youth program that targets tackling anything and everything youth-related muri Zimbabwe. We're coming to you live from our studios in Washington, D.C. on Tuesday, the 27th of April, 2021. Muri Zimbabwe, mthwakazo muhle. I'm your host, Mike Obe. Once again, Muria Zimbabwe, if you're tuning in right now, you're tuned into Live Talk, The Connection, Studio 7's very own youth program that targets tackling anything and everything youth-related. Muria Zimbabwe, I'm your host, Mike Hove. Namhlanje kuhlelo nasim chirongwa cheluchewe chitiki. Tonight on The Connection, we update you, our loyal listeners, on the COVID-19 pandemic responsible for taking millions of lives across the globe, thousands of lives in Zimbabwe. However, our conversation is not just ending there. We're going to be delving deep into something that happened last week. We're going to be discussing the Constitutional Amendment Bill Number 2, which received an overwhelming yes in National Assembly in Parliament last week, with over 190 members of Parliament voting yes. Now, this bill touches on several things, amongst them there being a youth quota and a women's quota in government. So if you're looking to join us, Muria Zimbabwe, we're going to be opening our lines to you, our loyal listeners. +1 202 619 2077 is the number if you're going to call us live in studio, Muria Zimbabwe. And for those that are streaming live on our three Facebook pages, we're broadcasting on VOA Shona, VOA Ndebele, and VOA Studio 7, Muria Zimbabwe. Write your comments in the comments section. We're going to be reading them live on air. And of course, most importantly, if you're streaming with us, please lingakhohlwa ukufitizela lapha ukubhala ukuthi like, msakangana ukuthinya the like button. Do not forget to press the like button so that we see ukuthi ngempela zimbabwe omuhle sisonke like so trithose pano pachirongwa chedu chebechidiki. And of course, press the share button so that we can watch the program in our numbers. Saka ndiyenge yatukubata nasi muchirongwa muri Zimbabwe, chirwere che COVID-19. Umkhuhlane we coronavirus. Without wasting time, let's delve into our topic tonight. Update of on COVID-19. Now, according to the most recent information released by the Ministry of Health and Childcare, in Zimbabwe, there are currently 38,102 confirmed COVID-19 cases. Recoveries right now, 35,149. And deaths, 1,560. Now, last night alone, 1,495 PCR tests were conducted, 60 new cases were detected, 26 recoveries, and 3 deaths. Of those 3 deaths, one is in Harare, one in Mashonaland West, and one in Mashonaland East. The country currently has 1,393 active COVID-19 cases, so these are the amount of people that are still have COVID-19 to date. 353,834 people have taken the COVID-19 vaccine. So those are some of the stats that have been recently released by the Ministry of Health and Childcare with regards to the COVID-19 pandemic in Zimbabwe. But whilst on the discussion of the COVID-19 pandemic and how it's affected the lives of the youth in Zimbabwe, several different facets have been affected, amongst them being the limited access to healthcare services in Zimbabwe, which has triggered an increase in child pregnancies in the Southern African nation. Let us take a look at a report done by VOA correspondent Columbus Mavunga, who explains more.
Zimbabwe's government says nearly 5,000 teenage girls became pregnant in January and February, and about 1,800 entered early marriages during the same period. Most live in poor suburbs, according to a government report. It's disappointing news for 17-year-old Natsirai Maritsa, who founded the Vulnerable Underaged People's Auditorium Initiative. Since 2018, she has been teaching her peers about the dangers of early pregnancies.
It made me realize that there's still a lot that needs to be done. This is not a one man's thing. Stakeholders out there should join the campaign and hold marathons, fun runs, campaigning for a nation that is free from early pregnancies and early marriages.
The United Nations Population Fund has been providing assistance to ensure Zimbabwe's children have online and radio lessons during the COVID-19 lockdowns. The UN body says Zimbabwe is among countries in sub-Saharan Africa with a huge teenage pregnancy problem, with a fertility rate of 108 per 1,000 girls among adolescents.
This is against an average fertility rate of 101 births per 1,000 young women aged 15 to 19 in sub-Saharan Africa. Of course, this data is from before COVID-19 pandemic and lockdown measures were put in place. Emerging data indicates that there has been significant increase in teenage pregnancy.
Sibusiswe Buda Masara, deputy chairperson of the Women's Parliamentary Caucus, says her group was heard by the report which was released by Zimbabwe's Women's Affairs Minister, Stembiso Nyoni. Buda Masara says stigma prevents young pregnant girls from going to school. She says legalized abortions should be an option in such cases, saying sexual reproductive education and contraceptives have failed to work.
We are trying to hide behind the finger. Our children are engaging in sex activities as early as 10 years, 5 years. And why are we still not doing what other countries have done? South Africa, it's done legally. Some of the people, those who can afford, they cross to South Africa and have their pregnancies terminated lawfully.
But Maritza disagrees, arguing Zimbabwe's poverty rates and lack of education are fueling the sharp rise in the rates of teenage pregnancy and early marriage. Columbus Mavunga for VOA News, Harare, Zimbabwe.
Wow, Maria Zimbabwe liyamuzwa phela intatheli izindaba yomsakazo weVoice of America uColumbus Mavunga uyachasisa ngempela okwenzakalayo elizweni uthi abantu abasakhulayo abantu abancane ngempela under the age of 10 years they're now getting pregnant elizweni uyasho ngempela ukuthi there's been a big spike, a big increase in the amount of teenage pregnancies elizweni ndizvo kazviri kuitika munyika zvasvitsanangurwa nemutapi wenhau Columbus Mavunga achiti aiwa munyika vana vechidiki vakati one day pava nevanhu vechidiki vakati one day who are getting pregnant zvakaitika pasi pechirongwa checovid-19 lockdown. Now these are statistics that were released muna January. Mutapi wenhau Columbus Mavunga, thank you so much to him. But now in terms of the strides that government is taking in terms of curbing the COVID-19 pandemic that started all these problems last year in Zimbabwe, right now Zimbabwe is trying to hit its target of making sure that 10 million people are received the COVID-19 vaccine, reaching what the government is terming a herd immunity. That means a majority population of people have taken the COVID-19 vaccine. But now with some positive news, reports state that Victoria Falls, which is where President Emmerson Mnangagwa took his first jab of the COVID-19 vaccine, has actually reached a herd immunity with over 70% of the population in Vic Falls taking the COVID-19 vaccine. And that's both the first and the second jab. My colleague Sthandekile Mhlanga reached out to the city's mayor Somvelo Dlamini, who explains more with regards to what's happening in Vic Falls. Let's take a listen.
Njoba kusazakala ukuthi I Falls rely on tourism. I tourism e Falls iaffectwe kakhulu I COVID-19. Yikho ubona abantu besukume ngobunengi. Iningi labantu kade basebenza emahoteli nama restaurants lama tour operating companies. So iningi labo alisebenzi ngenxa yokuthi lokho kuqalisa i-lockdown. Imisebenzi ibimile ngoba bekungela ama tourist. So ikubona besukumele phezulu bakwamukela lokho ukuthi bebuye bezohlaba i-vaccine. And okunye okwenza ukuthi abantu besukume ngobunengi ukuthi u-president usukumile wazohlabela lapha eForce. And khona kuyana kubanika iconfidence ukuthi hayi umuntu wangkhona uyasebenza sibili. Le mfundiso ebekhona phakathi kwabezibhedlela, ama doctor lathi njengama community leaders, si gxotshe ama rumors ukuthi ucatshangela ukuthi imuthi lowo ungabe ungasebenzi. So hayi, imfundiso abantu basukumele phezulu bakuzwile sibile kade sibafundisa khona. Ngiyakubongela lokho. Okwakathesi kuvaliwe yonke into imile. Laba abantu abayethekelela iforce bangabuya akunqabeli ukuthi umkhuhlane umemetheke. Okuqakathekileyo ukuthi labo khonapho ngezindawo lapho abakhona ewange eBulawayo behlabe leyi vaccine. I-vaccination program leyi program yelizwe lonke. In fact, i-program yomhlaba wonke. Akuthi ukuthi kuhlaba abantu beforce kuphela. Umkhuhlane lo ungathelelwana ingcengu bani osuka kuyiphi indawo. Akukhathalekile ukuthi ngovele wange kumbe eBulawayo. Even bona amakhiwa laba nxa bengavaccinethanga, umkhuhlane uyakwanisa ukumemetheka ngabo. So sikhuthaza wonke umuntu ukuthi lapha khona as long as eZimbabwe kathole ivaccine yona le ukuze igcikwane leli lingamemetheki. I-force yindawo eyamukela zonke izethekeli from all corners of the world. So sifisa ukuthi abantu bonke bevaccinethwe. Ngitsho la basemakhaya sibili sifisa ukuthi bevaccinethwe bonke ukuze lo mkhuhlane siwenqabele impilo ibuyele back to where it was.
Well, as Zimbabwe Muhle, you're hearing there from the mayor of Victoria Falls. Aiwa vari kutsanangura kuti ivo sa mayor vari kufara zvikurusa nekuti dhorobha re Victoria Falls has reached yavanoti herd immunity. Zvinoreva kuti vanhu vazhinji vanodarika 50% mudhorobha iri vakabaiwa nhomba yeCOVID-19. Vari kukurudzira zvakare vamwe vanogara mumadhorobha akasiyana siyana anzi aiwa nemiwo aibaiwa inhomba nekuti makabaiwa Zimbabwe ikasvika panguva iyi yatinoti herd immunity. Patingati vanhu vazhinji vabaiwa nhomba yeCOVID-19. Izvo zvinoreva kuti aiwa pane mukana mukuru wekuti sezvakataurwa kana Dr. Simemeza last week pano pachirongwa chedu chevechidiki, Zimbabwe ikasvika padanho rekuti tingati tine herd immunity. What this means is tinokatarisa zviri kuitika munyika dzakafanana naIsrael, uko vanhu vakufamba vakasununguka vasina kupfeka mamask asi vachiremekedza mimwewo mitemo, Zimbabwe nayo inokwanisa kusvika padanho iroro. Munoti nazvo muri Zimbabwe, have you taken the COVID-19 vaccine? Nyorai comments amo comment section pa Facebook page redu reVOA Shona sikona njalo ku VOA Ndebelela ku VOA Studio 7. Now earlier on I mentioned ukuthi namhlanje kuhlelo we're also going to be touching on another thing that recently happened last week, a constitutional amendment bill number 2. Now this is something that has been discussed over a very long period. Consultations happened last year, even though gwagule gwanelele COVID-19, which is something that some women's rights organizations and youth-led organizations are saying, but they're not happy with it. Amongst them is Ubetu Tsonga of Itemba for Girls Trust. Let's take a listen to what Ubetu had to say, and then we're going to head over to my first guest, who's joining us, legal expert Paida Saurombe. Let's head over to Ubetu.
Kulusizi kakhulu ukuthi uhulumende ukhetha ukuqakathekisa ukutshintsha isisekelo semithetho yelizwe ngesikhathi esibi kangaka abantu bebhekane le-COVID-19. Okuhlupha kakhulu yikuthi abazama ukwenza yikungezelela amandla kamongameli ngesikhathi sokuthi ilizwe kumele liphe abantu amandla okutsho ngezombuso esithi yi-devolution of powers. Ukuhlukaniswa kwamandla esithi yi-separation of powers elizweni lokugcinwa kwemithetho yelizwe lokukhululeka kwephalamende sokululaziwe. Konke lokhu kwenzakala ngemva kwabameli abayi-39 abaxotshwayo le-7 abatshonayo. Kutsho ukuthi iPhalamende kayigcwele ngemfanelo, kakwenziwanga ukhetho olufaneleyo lokukhetha kutsha amalunga ePhalamende ukugcwalisa izikhala ezijiwe yilabo abaxotshiweyo. Lokho kutsho ukuthi baningi abantu abangela ababamelayo ePhalamende. Laba bantu kabalalizwi kulokhu okwenzakalayo ePhalamende. Uma ama-by-elections amiswa ngenxa ye-COVID-19, kumele le-constitutional amendment ime ngoba kulabantu abangela bameli ePhalamende. Ngakho-ke ukuvota okwenzekileyo kule Constitutional Amendment Bill number 2 kakutshengiseli ngokweqiniso izifiso zabantu. I-quota system ibivele ikhona since 2013. Yikho kayisiyo nto esingatshona sigqakeza izandla ngakho. Into ekhona nje yikuzama ukuhuga abantu ukuthi babone ingani kulo tshintsho olukhona khona kungela. Iningi labafazi labatsha ikakhulu endaweni ezisaleleyo emaphandleni kazilawo amathuba lokuba lembono lokuthi babe yingxenye yombuso welizwe bahlala bechiwe ngaphandle. Into eqhakathekileyo okumele sibe sikhuluma ngayo yikuhlukumezeka kwabantu besifazane abazama ukungena enkundleni yezombuso. Baphathwa ngendlela engelanhlonipho, bayathethiswa, bebizwa ngamagama ayangisayo, bayalulazwa. Yikho ke okuqhakathekileyo kayisikhotha system kodwa ukufundisa abantu ukuhlonipha abesifazane lokuthi abesifazane baphiwe amalungelo abo abafaneleyo. Abatsha yibo abakhokheli bakusasa. Yikho ke balelungelo lokutsho ukuthi osekela umongameli abe ngubani ngoba kumele abe ngumongameli wabo. Umongameli ukhethwa ngabantu, hatshi iphathi. Ngakho ke umsekeli wakhe laye kumele akhethwe ngabantu, hatshi iphathi.
Well, Muriel Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from Abetu Tsunga of Itemba for Girls Trust. She was touching on a constitutional amendment, a bill number 2. Now, this is in relation to, of course, something that was happening last year. Last year, we had COVID-19 lockdown, and they were having these consultations on constitutional amendment bill number 2. Yeah, now Abetu Tsunga says, this should not be happening under the COVID-19 pandemic because, number one, if by-elections had been suspended, so should the amendment bill have been suspended. Let's hear what the legal expert Paida Saurombe has to say. Paida, welcome to our program. Thank you so much for joining us, man.
Thank you so much, Mike. How are you doing and your team there?
We're doing great. We're doing great. I hope you're staying safe. I see you're joining us via Skype and you seem to be distancing. Thank you so much. That's a good thing, man.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. We are trying to keep well.
Right, let's delve into it, man. Constitutional Amendment Bill number 2. It seems to have struck a large conversation, divided the nation as we speak. Some people standing for it because they're excited to hear that there's a youth quota and a women's quota. Some people saying this doesn't help. The youth quota and women's quota should have been something that has been practiced for a long time. Walk us through it. What exactly is going on with Constitutional Amendment Bill number 2?
Thank you so much, Mike. Perhaps to start off, let's give a bit of a background where we are coming from. Mm-hmm. If you remember very well, we have had the constitution we've been using since 1980, which we refer to as the Lancaster House Constitution. This Lancaster House Constitution was through a negotiated settlement after the Liberation War. Mm-hmm. And it was in existence up until 2013, when again we had another constitution that came out of the unity government that we had. In effect, the 2013 constitution, one would also perhaps argue that it was also a negotiated constitution that was drafted by the mainly two political parties, or perhaps three political parties, that were in charge at that time. Mm-hmm. And the 2013 constitution then went through a referendum and in that referendum, it was largely supported. It got a majority, an overwhelming majority, where people said, this is the constitution that we want. This is the constitution that we want to be governed by. These are the principles that we want to be governed through. But come 2017, we then had the first constitutional amendment to the very 2017 constitution. The bill was introduced in parliament in 2017. And basically what it was looking at, it was looking at the appointment of the heads of the judiciary. The 2013 constitution provides that the heads of judiciary and other judges who compose our judicial system should be subjected to a public interview before the Judicial Services Commission gives the president a list of how those judges have performed in an interview. Then the president will then appoint based on an interview that has been done publicly. So the first amendment, the 2017 amendment, basically dealt with the appointment of heads of the judiciary without them being subjected to public interviews. Mm-hmm. But as things then went, you would discover that that bill did not pass through the Senate, or the Senate could not reach a majority, which is a requirement according to the Constitution, that it must reach at least a two-thirds majority for it to pass through. It did not pass that two-thirds majority. This background is very important for in order for us to understand the Second Amendment.
So, and here we're talking about Constitutional Amendment Bill number 1, right?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
So, in order for us to understand number 2, let's start with number 1.
Right.
So,
go ahead.
Soon after number 1 did not pass, it was then subject to litigation. Mm-hmm. And the Constitutional Court made a decision which then said that Constitutional Amendment number 1 could not have been a valid amendment because it does not meet the precepts of the very Constitution being amended. Mm-hmm. And one particular clause is clause section 147 of the Constitution, which provides that a bill, if it has not yet gone through all stages, or it has not been passed, when Parliament lapses, the bill lapses with the Parliament. Mm-hmm. So if a Constitutional Amendment number 1 then lapsed with the 8th Parliament, which lapsed when we went into elections in 2018,
right,
it then lapsed on the 31st of on the 30th of July, as we went into elections on the 31st. Mm-hmm. Come now into the 9th Parliament. What Parliament then did was to simply take back Constitutional Amendment number 1, mm-hmm, and simply revived it in the Senate. The ruling had said it has lapsed, so it had to go through the paces again. Mm-hmm. So what Parliament then did was to take that constitutional amendment simply back to Senate and had Senate pass that amendment. Mm-hmm. Soon afterwards, we then come into Constitutional Amendment number 2. So Constitutional Amendment number 1 simply brought in one clause, but I will tell you this is still subject to a constitutional test by our courts.
Okay.
That could Parliament have simply taken an amendment, and the amendment which has lapsed in the previous Parliament, mm-hmm, and take that same amendment and simply say we are reviving it halfway through, and it goes. It was supposed to start again, start afresh.
Right.
When you read closely your constitution, mm-hmm, Constitutional Amendment number 2, then with it, it brings about more or less around about 22 changes to the constitution. Mm-hmm. All these changes, of course, they are subject to political debates. If I could perhaps just quickly run through,
please,
some of
unpack
the
them for our listeners so they understand.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. The first amendment, which is being brought in by Constitutional Amendment number 2, in the Constitution, the 2013 Constitution, it provides for what we called running mates in election, mm-hmm, whereby when the president is being elected, he's not only being elected as him, the president, who then appoints vice presidents, but he should, prior to elections, select or choose who his vice presidents are going to be. So he runs together. His election is tied to the elections of the vice presidents. Mm-hmm. That is what takes place in the 2013 Constitution. But as you would read it, you would then go to the 6th schedule, which would then provide that particular clause is then suspended for a period of 10 years, okay, starting from 2013. Mm-hmm. So as we go into 23 elections, according to that clause, what would then happen is we then have a running mate clause. Mm-hmm. So Constitutional Amendment number 2, what it's now doing is removing the running mate clause. Mm-hmm. You only elect a president. The president then chooses his vice president. Mm-hmm. What then happens if we wake up one day and we do not have a president? We then have the very same situation whereby the party that had elected a president then chooses a president that replaces the president that's there. Mm-hmm. What was there in the 2013, or what is still there before it's passed, is that the vice presidents then simply take over.
Right.
It actually has got a formula that is used. So the amendment is removing that. It's saying we do not want the running mate clause concept.
Okay.
Right? So the president elects and we simply have that old position where then the party gets after within a 90-day period, then elects a substantive president amongst their ranks.
All right, let me just hold you for 1 second, Paida. Let me bring in my second guest. He might have something that you might be able to hop onto there. So hold on for 1 second. Mudia Zimbabwe Liamuzwa uPaida Sawurombe, ingcweti, he is our legal expert. Ongenayo kuhlelo uyachazisa ngempela ukuthi nxa abantu sebesithi Constitutional Amendment Bill number 2, kahle kahle kusho ukuthini, how exactly are they proposing ukuthi isisekelo sombuso sitshintshe? Murunzi kwaka, ndiwo ka legal expert wedu ari kupinda muchirongwa Paida Sawurombe ari kunyatsotsanangura kuti zvinorevei. But now we're joined by my second guest, Unikros Kajengo. He's a development practitioner, development economist. We've had Nikros on this program quite a number of times talking about youth empowerment related issues. Vakajengo, welcome to the program. How are you doing?
Thank you so much.
And Yair Mgango Mainzwa Vakajengo, we're talking on the Constitutional Amendment Bill number 2. It seems as though there are some young people who are in favor for it. We've spoken offline and you seem to be in favor for it. Walk us through it. Why are you in favor for it when there's also a huge chunk of young people who are saying, Bodu, avasku farane Constitutional Amendment Bill number 2?
Okay, thank you very much. First and foremost, we ought to understand that the Zimbabwean Constitution, in terms of Amendment number 28 of 2013, the Constitution actually is demand given the Constitution by the people, but now there are some issues that require clarity. That is why it was amended. Amendment is for the good of the young people. Amendment is for the good of the elders and in fact for the Zimbabweans. Because if you look at the representation in terms of parliament, in terms of the various concerns, either in government or in the private sector, there was exclusion in terms of the youth. That's the first point. Secondly, if you look at the women, you can also agree with me that there was no gender equality. What we are saying globally, even the SDGs, they are talking about the need to ensure gender equality and the inclusion of even youth and women. So now these amendments are there to correct some few irregularities that have been, that could have happened during the process when this constitution was put in place in the year 2013. So these amendments are for the good of the young people, they are for the good of the women, they are for the good of the next generation. So this kind of approach to the constitution is a step in the right direction.
All right, let me hold you for 1 second, Vakajengo, and then I'm going to come back to you shortly. Now, Mudia Zimbabwe, I've gathered a couple of audios from different people who have commented on Constitutional Amendment Bill number 2 earlier on. You heard from Ube Tutsunga. I also reached out to Esther Vongai Zimudzi. Now, Esther is one of the people who actually took to the streets last year alongside Namatai Kwekweza, where they were protesting, saying, they are not in favor of Constitutional Amendment Bill number 2. So let's hear what Esther had to say. And then when we come back, we're going to head over to Paida Sawurombe and Nikros Kajengo. Let's hear more from Esther.
So when I heard that 190 people in the lower house had voted yes to the Constitutional Amendment Bill number 2, I was very disappointed, especially being one who was arrested for speaking up against that bill. But It's also reflective on the type of leaders that we elect as a people. And I think that, you know, it is actually saved as time. Because come 2023 is around the corner. Now people, the electorate now knows the kind of people to vote for. The constitution and the laws governing this country, it allows them to feel the way that they're feeling, that, you know, the amendment is for the greater good of the nation. But if then they're going to be citing issues of women and the youth quota, I think that's a very misleading point, or that's a very misleading thought process, because the constitution and it on, it lays the framework for women empowerment. If they were really sincere about wanting to put women in the positions of leadership, they would have opted for a zebra system, not a woman's quota. For the youth quota, you don't... In Shona, we say, what is it that is preventing young people or youths from getting in parliament? That is which you're supposed to address. Is it the issue of finances? Is it the issue of the political structures and the political systems that we have? Then address those issues, not to introduce a quota system. Because the quota systems, it's not a sustainable way. Since 2013, we had the women's quota, but it has dismally failed to put women in parliament via the electoral process whereby they are candidates themselves and they have to contest it out. They are now being the quota system. It weakens the women's and the youth movements. Those are tokenistic seats. And besides, those two quotas that were introduced so as to sugarcoat the bill. The bill, the aim of the bill, the principles of the bill, it is to give Emerson Mnangagwa Simbaraka Wandisisa. Jekuti Ndiyano kwansa kuapointa ma judges without public consultations, without public interviews. That is, you know, the constitution, it is there to limit the power to one person. But now with the way that this bill is now being introduced, it is silencing the democracy that our forefathers fought for. And with what the president, Mnangagwa, is doing now, I think every young person should be angry. Because we've got an Obisha, we've got an Beatrice Mutetwa, we've got very much capable young people or youthful people who can become our judges. So why are Kudakurambachi Manikidzirana? 70 years. So definitely young people, we should be angry at this.
Well, Zimbabwe Mohlelo Muzwa phela osakhulayo obetshengisela vele ngomnyaka odlule uke wabotshwa njalo unkosazana Esther Vongai Zimutsi awuyasho ngempela ukuthi hayi yena njengosakhulayo, she's not happy. Vaka Jengo, I need you back on the program here. Could you tell us your thoughts on what Esther's saying? She's saying as young people, they appreciate, but they feel as though these are just tokens. They're not going to help in terms of achieving what the goal is, in terms of empowering young people and getting them in these positions of influence. She says this won't help. What's your thoughts?
Okay, thank you very much. Actually, that is an amendment. You right, quite. Mkoma mchona kutilix. Haifu ngorinya kutilix biti chete ndo waba tirita. I see the public at large. Tinema close ya kawanda ni tineza tukutawara. What is a clause 16? It is very clear about Nyaya Chief Secretary, Emateman Secretary. So, one does the Mashandura Kanaka, a woman, Jim Constitution, of course, but Bureb, Rukusimbisa, Jovana Kuitwa, even a Public Service Commission. What is our clause 17 and 18? Not our Nyaya Public Process, Public Protector. Now, Katanya, the government. All those, yeah, the corruption, government, it's not about one clause 17 and 18. My clause and that's really clear, but because of that amendment, so about it, I could get this out of the proper governance. Now, we think that it's a public protector, chapter 10:15, it has a repute. So that God is going to create this amendment. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to close 19. It is very clear. Yeah, the prosecutor general, the judges, kana president washapunda ma ministers washapunda ma permanent secretaries washapunda kuone kutazania kwa kwenda kwa judges so no ma area dzatofundidzira kuti amendment yakanga ikatinakira bodzi mukataisa dzimwe nyika zvakare munoona kuti wanoita maappointments iyaya but isisu sezimbabwe hapana shuri tadzisa kutaura the same maappointments na president wedu even close 2021-2025 itora nyaya dzedevolution ende nyaya dzedevolution dzine udzami kune vechidiki because panoti devolution ndo panoti empowerment yacho saka zvichireva kuti mupfumi unenge wakuwana.
All right. Let me hold you for 1 second. Tinzo tinyanzvi munyadze legal matters vanotiva paida Saurombe so that he can also chip in on this. Mr. Saurombe, are you still there on Skype?
I'm still there, Mike.
Right. So I need you to chip in here. We've played a couple of clips of some of the young people who seemed really distressed and not happy with Constitutional Amendment Bill number 2. They cited a couple of clauses. They seem to focus here on, of course, one of the clauses which talks about president being able to appoint judges. We also heard from Esther there talking about the fact that one of the clauses actually allows some judges to stay on even after past retirement age of 70, so they can, continue. And they're questioning why, how does this help? Some seem really dissatisfied because they feel as though these amendments give the president too much power. What would you have to say?
Thank you so much, Mike. First of all, if I would comment on that, I think both the two previous speakers have touched on the appointment of judges. What you would realize, Mike, is that in the 2013 Constitution, the unamended version, which is being amended, it provided for a system where we were now starting to get accustomed to here in Zimbabwe, whereby judges would be subjected to public interviews and public scrutiny before being appointed as judges of the courts or to head the judiciary. This is a standard when you look at it, which is prevalent worldwide. And when I say worldwide, if you look at all democracies, go next door in South Africa, you find such provisions that are present. In the past 3 weeks, the Judicial Services Commission in South Africa has been sitting in order to interview judges that are going to be appointed in their courts, constitutional court, Supreme Court, and in their high courts. Why is such a standard present? Such a standard is present and necessary because it brings about public accountability. Remember, these are public officials that are going to be performing public functions. Mm-hmm. So when they are scrutinized and the public sees the nature and the caliber of the people who are going to be appointed by people, it brings in, besides a modicum of constitutionality, it also brings in and taps into public confidence of who is going to be making decisions on their behalf. Mm-hmm. So you would then, of course, find an argument that says that the president should, and as in being presented in the amendment, that the president should then have the powers to appoint judges. And I have had an argument saying, I think it was my brother, if I heard him correctly, and I've also had arguments from those in support of the provision saying that countries like America, the president appoints judges, countries like South Africa. But what you would then discover, what is being missed in the whole argument, it's a very simple thing. What is being missed is that in countries like America, the president does not simply wake up and say, Saurombe, you are now a judge. Hove, you are now a judge. Mm-hmm. The very same judges are scrutinized or they undergo through a Senate confirmation. They actually go in America and they are publicly scrutinized and interviewed in the American Senate.
Let me hold you for 1 second. I have a caller that wants to join on the line. I'm going to come back to you shortly. So Zulukandaba ngiyezwa ukuthi ngilomlaleli ongenayo kuhlelo. We here, we have a caller varikupinda mchirongwa. Let's hear ukuthi ngibani okhona ecingweni. Caller, mthereri, tinomgamchira mchirongwa. Who's on the line there?
Makadiso.
Mushe, mushe, makadi enyu.
Awa, tingadi, ilise, ilise, yu.
Ariparu nare ndiani?
Mira, ilise, mtikirai.
Mati, ndanchi kumroku mzoko rene, mati ndiani? Oh, mkoma Raisoni, muri kutifonera muri kupi? Ku South Africa uko. Nyaya iri mugango mainzwa mukoma Raisoni. Vakuda kuchinja bumbiro remutemo. Vamwe vari kuti aiwa, vari kufara nazvo nekuti hanzi pane mukana wekuti vechidiki navo vachapiwa mikana yekuti vapindewo kamuhurumende. Vamwe vari kuti havasi kufara nazvo nekuti hanzi zvikachinja izvi munenge makupa mutungamiriri wenyika masimba akawandisa. Tipewo maonerenyu.
Aipabumbiro remutemo ndiziviyatori zvichinja zvakanaka. Nechikonzero chekuti isechidiki vacho nemadzimai acho tiri kutambudziwa, mari haisi kuwanikwa, zvinhu zvakaoma munyika yedu. Saka chakatekukosha ndechekuti mutungamiriri wenyika yedu angosiyira wechidiki masimba acho ese kungoti nyika ifambire mberi nekuti hazvi kuitika munyika yedu, zvakaoma vamaitoyo.
Saka zvino mungati chinhu chatofanira kutsigira here, nekuti kunzwa vakajengwa varipo parunhare hanzi aiwa ndiwoka yatingati mhindure kune zvichemo zvenyu sevechidiki. Muri kuti munoda kupindawo kamuhurumende mowana mikana yekuzvisimudzira, hanzi honai kava kuda kuchinja bumbiro remutemo kuitira kuti muwane mikana yekudaro. Mungati
I am not sure if you are a good person.
Aiwa, takunzwa zvakanaka. Handi kumbura kuti mukande mashoko enyu ekupedzisira mukoma Raison.
Majoko angu mwari apindirawo munyika yedu yeZimbabwe, nekuti isiri kwega tikazama kuvhota kubinza maelection. Saka ndandondokumbirawo dai makasiridzawo munyika yedu yeZimbabwe. Nyika yedu yeZimbabwe yaitawo zvakanaka, tidzokere kunyika yedu tinozvirira tichipuhwa mari yedu isiyeifoni kwete maratidzo zvaari kutipa tiripindiridzisa mari mudaro.
Aiwa, takunzwa zvakanaka mukoma Raison. Muzvichengete zvakanaka kuSouth Africa kwamuri ikoko, handisi?
Aiwa, tinotenda, tinotenda chaizvo.
Well, Muri Zimbabwe, that was one of our callers calling us live from South Africa. Uraison Tsikirai. We are kulumbono wake njengosakhulayo oyizalwanise Zimbabwe sihlala kule South Africa uthi hayi yena ubona ngani yebo kuqakathekile kodwa bayakhala njengabasakhulayo bathi hayi izinto sokumele zitshintshe kwele Zimbabwe. Likubona njani izulukandaba? Ngiyabona ukuthi ngempela abantu bayabhala imibono yabo. Richard Moyo uyabhala ukhona kukhasi lethu ele VOA Indebele hanzi, hello Zimbabwe, hello Africa, hello world, hello studio, hello people. Aiwava Moyo, Mr. Moyo, thank you so much ngokungena kuhlelo. Victor uyabhala ukuthi siyabonga ukubukela uhlelo live. Aiya, siyabonga Victor ngokungena kuhlelo. Uncube uyabhala ukuthi Zimbabweans were crazy people. How can we give the powers to the president to appoint judges? We're going to hear from one of our panelists ukuthi yena why does he believe that's a good thing. Thabani Ndlovu uyabhala ukuthi watching you from the city of kings 1202 nqa. Siyabonga Ndlovini ngokungena kuhlelo. Metiseli Ndlovu layo uthi ngikhona ngikwele Zambia. Ira Khanye uyabhala uthi watching you guys from Morokweng, Northwest South Africa. Tumelang, tumelang, tate Khanye. Let's go back to Mr. Kajengo. Kajengo, are you still on the line?
I am, yes.
Ndanji kumuro kutu miendere mberi manzwa zwa zwitaurwa na avasa urombe. Mukanzwa zwekare zwa zwitaurwa ne mtereri. Pindura itinzwe.
Thank you very much. Today I'm not going to be biased on youth, but I'm going to look at this constitution from a broader perspective. My brother, oh, if you look at clauses 2 to 8, he talks about the proposed amendments which seek to remove the reanimate concept of the vice president. And I'm sure you're aware that instead the two vice presidents will be appointed by the president and serves at the president's pleasure. This means that there will be a spirit of oneness and a spirit of loyalty. As long as there is loyalty, there is nationhood, there is patriotism.
But question, Wakajengu, question. You talked about the spirit of loyalty, and I like that you mentioned that because Betutunga earlier on alluded to that. She was saying the reason why she's satisfied with the current procedure is because the spirit of loyalty is not to a man, but it's to the nation. But she feels as though with the current proposals, in this circumstance where the president is the one appointing, it leads to a situation where the person has to lead their loyalty to a person and not to the nation. Mungati.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree.
Why?
Because, you know, my brother, governance begins at the household level. If you are a father, you talk to your mother and your father, of course, with their sons and daughters. If sons and daughters fail to understand and respect their parents, it means that the household is heading towards a disaster. The same is applicable to a country where we are saying the issue of conflicts, the issue of discords is a cause of concern in terms of development. So now if we talk of loyalty, we mean the entire government system has to speak with one voice. So if we say the president must appoint the judges, the president must appoint the vice president, now it's a sign towards making sure that there is, you know, no discords in the government and in the government itself. Just wait a bit. If you look at clause number 10, it says, in fact, it seeks to give the president the power to appoint up to 7 instead of the current 5. Now, this means 2 additional will also be appointed in as far as the ministers are concerned. And actually, is to the advantages of the country, given that there will be higher chances to have technocrats on board, because there are some people with expertise, knowledge, who are outside the political field, but can be appointed based on their skills, knowledge, and expertise, hence the significance, hence the importance of this clause.
All right.
So we are saying the amendment is one of the best options done by our rep in parliament, because we as the people, we are represented. That is why about 70% of our MPs voted for this, because they are representing the public and the people.
Regaiti peva Saurombe mkanokutu na wova pindure. Mr. Saurombe, step in there. You're the legal expert. You're hearing Mr. Kajengo saying this is a great move for the nation. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that one in terms of what he's saying. Let's speak with one voice, and the amendment helps the nation speak with one voice. He talks of several different things. Mungati.
Thank you so much, Mike. I think we need to understand the principle of constitutionality, how we actually work as a constitutional democracy. And I get worried when issues like loyalty to individuals come into the fore, come into play. Why do I get worried, Mike? It's because the president himself owes loyalty and allegiance to the Constitution. And hence, when he is sworn in, he is sworn in using the very Constitution that he will be, or he or she, whoever is elected as president, has to owe allegiance to the Constitution. So when you look at the principles of constitutionality, how we govern ourselves within a constitutional framework, it's not about the individual. It's about the principle. It's about the agreement which we have come about to as a people. So really, if the reasoning is that it has to be about loyalty to an individual, then we have retrogressively gone back miles away from advancing as a constitutional democracy. We need to maintain constitutional principles whereby we say that we are going to be governed by certain ethos that should bind us in order to progress as a nation. Mm-hmm. So I am pretty worried, especially if that is the thinking behind such amendments. That's number one. Number two, I think we have already touched on the issues of judges. Mm-hmm. Again, according to the principles of our governance system, we do have three spheres of government. We have the executive, we have the legislature, and we have the judiciary. And if there is such thinking that all three spheres should speak in one voice, it's quite concerning, because the very same constitution provides for independence of the judiciary. We cannot have a system whereby the courts are whipped to say a certain thing. And by not subjecting the judges, we have entered into that to public interviews. We have now entered into a system where we are actually saying the independence of those judges cannot be vouched for if the public cannot tap into their confidence. So that is one issue. But let me also quickly, Mike, touch on the issue of the women's quota and the
In less than 2 minutes, please, because we need to wrap up.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Let me quickly, because I think this issue has been canvassed a lot, the women's quota and the youth quota. Precisely what this amendment will be doing is to increase the number of people that are going to be there in parliament. Mm-hmm. Why are they being increased? The first reason being given is that they should be, it's actually going to be done in order to give women a greater voice, in order to give the youth a greater voice. In terms of the youth, 2-3 weeks ago, we had a youth council that was established by the Minister of Youth, the Minister, Minister Kirsty Coventry. Mm-hmm. When you look at the functions of that body in its own, instead of us increasing number of people who should be paid in parliament and looking at the role of people who get into parliament, we need to understand that as a nation, the role of parliament is to legislate, is to make laws. Mm-hmm. And we do not need a lot of people to go in and do that. Mm-hmm. What we need to do from a constitutional perspective is to strengthen the structures in the body that we already have. Let's strengthen the youth council so they can be able to implement and speak much more, rather than simply adding more people onto the train.
All right, I'm going to have to hold you there, Vasau Rombe. Thank you so much for joining us. Unfortunately, our time is up. Vaka Jengo, in less than a minute, the last question I can pose to you here is, with all this that's happening, why should the youth care about all these constitutional amendments? Why should they be involved in all of this? In less than 2 minutes, please.
Thank you very much. Youth are critical. They need critical space in the economy, in the political field, and it is important for them to have a say in the constitution, because this constitution is different from the Bible. Bible is not a free and Mari, but we say the constitution is by the people and for the people. Hence, the youth are part and parcel of the people.
All right. Vaka Jengo, unfortunately, time is up here. I'm going to have to hold you there. Thank you so much for taking time out to join us. I always appreciate you being on the program. Same applies to Vasau Rombe. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for taking time out to join us. Kuhlelo lwethu labasakhulayo. Zulukandaba sekusele 7 minutes kuhlelo lwethu namhlanje. But as usual, we like to wrap up our program with some good vibes. We like to wrap up our program profiling young Zimbabweans who are doing exceptional stuff. This week, we speak to young Zimbabwean musician Mbewu, who has performed on tons of different amazing international stages. Mbewu recently released a new video to his recent song, Hauna Rudo. Let's take a look.
Hauna Rudo is a song that talks about leaving room for disappointment, Mupenyu, you know, because, you know, you are bound to be disappointed by people, especially my relationships. Imagine you monopinda rudo rechitwisa, muchitanga kuona na characters zenyu mapinda kuti kumunhu zvaakatodai kana kuti zvaakatodai. So at times expect disappointments and learn from those disappointments. Basically that's the meaning of the song.
Now undulombo basanya a message, the message of the song, that's one thing I want to delve into. What kind of message were you looking to send out there with your song?
Yeah, like what I said, kumsoro kuti inini chandoda kuti vanhu vadzidze pa song yekuti hauna rudo is kuti you should leave room for disappointments, because at times we have a tendency of not leaving that room for disappointments, and then was a disappointment one. Was the time where heartbreak you would never even recover from, you know. Not saying kuti hanzi kana uchipinda murudo usapinda 100% all in kana kuti pinda 100% all in. I'm just saying naturally vanhu sevanhu isusu we are bound to disappoint people. Even chero inini I can actually do the same, even iyo mumwe wangu can actually do the same too. Saka you should just leave room for disappointment. Zvinokubatsira izvozvo kuti in life you would get to learn, and as you go uchidzidza uchiona zvaunenge uchiona zvichizokubatsira kuti ukwanise kusazosangana ne such scenarios dzekuti unoita heartbreak inopedzisira yaita kuti vazhinji vangu vacho vandozopedzisira vaita chiro kana masuicides and stuff. It's because nyaya dzemoyo dziri deep, you know. When we talk about nyaya dzerudo ka, people have a tendency of taking it just light as kuti I know just, but zvinhu zvitori nema consequences, zvinhu zvine ma bondages, you know. So yeah, people should take that serious. Rudo runoda kutorwa serious.
Ngatimbobata nyaya yewellbeing yako semuimbi, your wellbeing as an artist. You know, pasi pechirongwa chelockdown over the past year, imi vaimbi kana kuti vanoita mabasa emitambo, a lot of artists have not been able to do their jobs properly. You haven't been able to gig, you haven't been able to make money like you traditionally would. So I'm curious about your well-being just as an artist, Mbeu. How has Mbeu been surviving under these times whereby, you know, as artists you just haven't been able to make money like you traditionally would?
Nguva ino yeCOVID, iniwo zvandiri kuita kuti ndikipe my brand and my band alive is kuti basa redu rese takuita on social media. We do my live streams atinoita tichiridza. I have a band runonzi Modzi Tribe, so toita masets edu atinoita, and yeah, nemarecordings atiri kuita. We're doing projects, we're doing collabos. Like I said, with this was this world JDS revolved around the internet, so we upload stuff there, and then that's the only way we can market, we can still market ourselves and make a living. And also I would even love to encourage mangoma artists, could we just keep on grinding, you know, keep on being focused. These are difficult times, but all is well. Get through this.
All right, well, Mbeu, let's wrap up our conversation here, bro. Could you tell the listeners where they can find more information, and of course where they can watch this amazing video that we've been showcasing, Hauna Rudo?
Yeah, vanoda kuziva zvizere ne information ya Mbeu and the Modzi Tribe band, munondibata pa 0772 919 755. Pama social media handles angu, pa Instagram ni Twitter it's Mbeu Official, then pa Facebook it's Mbeu and the Modzi Tribe Band. Muno dibate papo pa YouTube vanenge vachida kuona video, ndine video nyowa ine yachokuta nezvaye hauna rudo yacho. It's there on our YouTube channel inonzi Mbeu Official, so go and check it out and enjoy yourselves.
Yeah. Harusi rudo, apana rudo. That was Mbeu there. Shout out to Mbeu for taking time out to join us. Muri Zimbabwe. Says figile mapetole no shlelo lethu labasakhulayo. Unfortunately, everything fun comes to an end. But Muri Zimbabwe, we're going to be together again. Slapa kuhlelo lethu labasakhulayo. Same time, same place. Anokoneka nemfaru Muri Zimbabwe. I go by the name of Mike Hove. If you're looking to chat with me, I'm there on Instagram and Twitter at BigMike3. I want to take this moment to say thank you to Nicholas Kajengo for joining us. We also had Paida Saurombe, and we also had a couple of voices that we sourced, Esther Zimudzi, Betutunga, and others. Abangeleyo kuhlelo. Thank you so much to everybody who wrote their comments in the comment section. Anokoneka nemfaru. Ndinewe nyu Mike Hove. Muri Zimbabwe. Let's meet same time, same place. Pano pachirongwa chedu chewe chidiki. Bye-bye!